Robert Mays joins us now of The Ringer. Hey, Robert, talk JD off the ledge here because like he's inconsolable here, despite the fact that his football team won the game yesterday.
Thanks for having me. The tone seems really upbeat.
It's good. It's cold in Toronto. Yeah. This is what you're getting. We got seasonal depressions already kicking in.
It's snowing in Chicago, so I understand. I think that we talked about this on our podcast today on the Ringer NFL show, Kevin Clark and I. And, you know, the numbers don't seem to bear out that guys get significantly more injuries on Thursday night football. The games, you know, I just anecdotally, I think, is where it's bad. And I think if we all come to the conclusion that Thursday night football is not fun and the product is bad, it doesn't matter whatever the data tells us. The product is bad. If none of us are having fun, none of us are having fun. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that everyone collectively hates this is enough to try to legislate it out of the league. And there's reason for the league to take this away. I think when you lose guys like Richard Sherman, that's why. And it just feels like how many other things are going to be up for debate as we get into the next CBA negotiations here soon. This is going to be something that probably gets taken off the table because the league is going to dangle it in front of players. They're going to take it away, and it's going to lead to less concessions elsewhere. But I just feel like it's not a bulletproof enough product where it's going to be around forever. I think we could see it be gone very soon here.
Well, we can fix it, I think, Robert. And I'm not the only guy that's thought of this. I mean, and you could even just either schedule the teams around their bye weeks or just add another bye and extend the season by a week. It seems like we have solutions. If you really just want to have another property on another day of the week, you want to play football on Thursday, you can do it by just not having these four-day practice weeks for these teams.
I think that's a fair point, and I feel like that's the next step. I mean, if we're going to keep it, then there needs to be a bye week before teams do this. And I think there should be two bye weeks. The other part of all this, though, is I think that one of the reasons that people aren't tuning in to watch football as often is because it's saturated. There's a football game every single night. I think by the time Sunday comes around, with all these London games thrown into the mix as well, I mean, you've seen four time slots of football during the week before we get to Sunday night. And I just don't think that's a good thing. I feel like more football is not necessarily good for the league if they want people to tune into these games.
Counter to that, though, is that generally Thursday night football is like Cincinnati-Jacksonville type of game, or actually it seems to be AFC South all the time. So it's basically like you're eliminating one bad game that you would never see anyways. Like, I don't think I would know anything from the AFC South essentially, like basically other than the Colts for the last, 15 years, like 10 plus years. I wouldn't know anything about the Jags. I wouldn't know anything about the Titans or the Texans. But Thursday night football was this like look into this division where I was like, hey, look, there's these bad teams. You can watch them every once in a while too. And then you get the Bills-Jets game every year. That's gotta have that on the schedule. Those are some must-see games. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I like more football, so it's hard for me to just stand up here and say I really don't want Thursday night football when I generally look forward to it. I gamble on it. I like football. I like seeing it more. But yeah, it does feel a little uncomfortable when you're watching Richard Sherman up there last night and then Doug Baldwin basically say that it should be illegal and say, okay, these are the guys that are playing the game. And maybe even if the data doesn't back up that the injuries are higher, we do know that when you're traveling, you're not recovering the same way. And when you are on a shortened schedule, it's probably in these guys' heads. And if they're uncomfortable with it, that's ultimately, I think, what matters the most in this situation. So, yeah, like I'm fine.
If it's real, it's real. Yeah. I mean, that's where we are. If we've made it real and we consider it real, then it's real. And I think that that's all that matters.
So are you still considering the Seahawks contenders? Because I think that it's an ugly offense. No Sherm now. You've seen the numbers with the Legion of Boom when they don't have one of the guys. I'm having a hard time buying into it. You're still there.
I think I am just because I do think that the roster talent they have is still considerable. And when you look at the rest of the league, it just doesn't feel like there are any great teams. I know Philly, it looks excellent right now, but they're in kind of a similar boat. I mean, how long is it going to be before we realize that they don't have Jason Peters? Every team is dinged up in some way, shape, or form, and I think now it's a matter of which injuries are the most survivable. And I think that while Sherman is, you know, an excellent corner, has been for a while, this isn't Earl Thomas. You know, if Earl Thomas comes back healthy and the rest of that team can avoid any major dings from here on out, we'll see what happens with Chancellor, everything else. I mean, that's the question. If they can get everyone back but Sherman, I think they could still be fine.
Well, I, Ben and I were talking about this before the show, actually, and it was a good point made by him that essentially if you look at the AFC, it doesn't really feel very open. It looks like there's going to be some really trashy teams in the wild card mix, and I think we're even moving a little bit further away from Kansas City in terms of believing that they're contenders, and yet in the NFC, it feels like every single team that's going to be in the playoffs this year really has a chance at winning.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that right now, the way the playoff race looks, you know, to be headed, you have the Rams, the Seahawks, the Saints, Carolina, the Eagles, and the Vikings. And if you think about those teams, and Philly looks the best, and I think Philly has the best roster. And they've did a great job this offseason of filling out the margins of who they wanted to be. Jeffrey, Jernigan, even the Ajayi trade. I mean, they've done a very good job of maximizing even the fringes of that 53. But I still feel like underneath them, it's anybody's game. And the Vikings, the quarterback questions, obviously, you know, reasonable. But I think the Saints are intriguing. I just feel like the right run, the right kind of hot streak with any of these teams, and they could be in the mix. Again, I think Philly has distanced themselves a little bit, but under that, who the heck knows?
You didn't mention the Cowboys, who, okay, here's what we know. 4 weeks at least without Zeke, but beyond that, not 100% sure, because apparently he can appeal after 4 weeks. How does that change your opinion of that team?
It changes it. I think that this year, more than others in the last couple seasons, the running back has mattered because the offensive line has been a little more uncertain. You know, you have two spots that are populated by new guys who have not played very well with Lyle Collins and now Jonathan Cooper. Tyron Smith is clearly hurt. He's not practicing. His back has been bothering him. It's a chronic issue. And he's been good in stretches, but not the player he's been in recent years. And when you consider just the diminished play up front, the running game has still been excellent, and I think that's in large part because Ezekiel Elliott has been the running back. It's not just a plug-and-play running game anymore. You need a guy who can create a little bit for himself, and now you lose that player. So we're going to find out a lot about Dak Prescott in the next 6 weeks. I mean, can he carry that offense without Elliott in place? And he's been excellent over the last month or so. So I think the answer to that might be yes. I mean, you could easily swap out Dallas for Carolina in the conversation we were just having, and I wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, and that's actually the thing that I feel like we've been underrating a little bit is Dak Prescott. We've been sleeping on the Cowboys a bit. I feel like a lot of the discussion has been, if the Cowboys lose Zeke, they're done. They can't get in without Ezekiel Elliott. And you're right. And everything you said about him not being a plug-and-play running back and trying to think about the drop-off between him and Alfred Morris or the Darren McFadden, that's steep. That's a lot to take in. But I feel like every time we've asked Dak to step up and say, hey, this is a Dak Prescott game, or we're going to need to see something from him, he's provided that he's actually come through in those spots. And honestly, I'm a Cowboy hater, so I hate admitting this, but I feel like he is good enough to carry them into the playoffs.
Absolutely, especially with a diminished NFC. I mean, you don't feel good about that Carolina offense. The defense has been very good, but the offense just ping-ponged so much. They still don't have Olsen back. Newton has been pretty unreliable all season. I just feel like there's nothing you can bet on comfortably in the NFC to knock the Cowboys out of this conversation.
Yeah. The other team that you didn't mention, though, was the Bears. So,
yeah, they are out of this conversation. So I feel comfortable saying that. That's a limb I'm willing to climb out onto.
Maybe they'll let Mitch throw like 10 passes.
Well, I was going to say, where are you with Mitch?
I think he's fine. I think that he has clear issues when he's asked to decipher and kind of sift through a lot of information, and that's not surprising for a young quarterback. I also feel like they're doing him no favors with this. By protecting him this way, I don't feel like you're helping anything because I just hate it. I mean, the guy clearly can do some stuff when you take the training wheels off. You're going to have to live with the mistakes. Deshaun Watson was thrilling, but Deshaun Watson was also throwing two picks a game and trying to give away a couple more. This is the reality when you play with a rookie quarterback. I mean, I think we look around the league and say, well, look at Carson Wentz, look at Jared Goff. They weren't those guys last season. They simply weren't. And I just feel like trying to hide Trubisky within this offense just because you don't have anyone for him to throw the ball to doesn't do anybody any favors.
I'm stuck on the NFC. I just find it way more interesting than the AFC. Washington getting some of those offensive linemen back, three of the injured four, at least were practicing. I mean, they just beat Seattle. Of course, they've had their issues. They lost both games to the Eagles. Is there still an intriguing factor with Washington for you?
I do think there is, and I think overall that offense has enough pieces where, you know, they can put some points up on anybody. The defense, I don't know. That's my question about them. They were really getting it done in unconventional ways early in the season, jumping routes, just kind of being physical, but also being a little bit unpredictable. And I think when you have a talent deficiency, that's how you have to play. So I feel like that secondary has kind of gotten a lot out of the players in it. You know, that's kind of what I'm trying to say. I feel like they're playing above the talent level they have on that side of the ball. I don't know how sustainable that is. But getting Norman back, they look like a different group last week. So I feel like they're going to be fine. They're going to stick around. They're going to be annoying in the games that they play against really good teams. But at 4-4, that's a tough ask. You pretty much say you have to go 6-2 the rest of the way.
Yeah,
I don't think they're that team.
Yeah, I think it was playing the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, and it was this game that Josh Norman got hurt, where it felt like everybody on the defensive side of the ball was getting hurt for Washington. I think it was the Eagles anyway. But yeah, I remember thinking the same thing, that they're playing really aggressive, that they're hitting people really hard. There was a real thump, a real attitude to that secondary, but then they just lost everybody and they weren't the same for the last couple of weeks. But I think that Washington can be somebody, but yeah, it's hard to imagine Kirk Cousins now carrying them into the playoffs and making some noise, especially when, yeah, they're probably the third best team in their division.
Yeah, and Carolina's going to be around. I mean, I think that defense is reliable enough that at 6-3, they put themselves in a good spot. I don't know how great I feel about that team, but I just think that there's so many things that would have to go wrong for them to go into a tailspin. The defense is just too good for them to lose like 5 games in a row. It's not going to happen.